שלום לכם ותודה שאתם
Hello, thank you for being with us on our New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. We want to learn from Rav Lightman how to be happy. This series of talks on the New Life series are about happiness, and each time we want to touch a different aspect of this wide and deep subject of happiness and try to understand actually how to take our lives here and now to a better place. We didn't come here to just talk. We came to learn how to be happy in life. And today we want to focus on the relationships between people and see how my emotional state influences the people around me and how their state, and at the end of the day understand how these things work and how we influence each other emotionally. First, I want to understand how we can actually be truly happy, not happiness that will disappear in 5 minutes, but how we can truly touch eternity. Tal, open up our discussion. So truly, for many years, scientific research looked at a person as an individual with desires. He can be happy, depressed. And one of the things that latest research shows that one of the most major influences of happiness are his relationships and his environment with his friends. And another very interesting thing that they discovered is that we also influence one another. We can really our mood is contagious. We see the manager who's in charge of the emotional atmosphere in the company. He has to know how to treat people who are putting out negative thoughts inside the company. There's a lot of things dealing with that today. And me personally, if I feel good today and I go to a place where somebody will talk to me, he's angry and upset and sad, he'll drain energy from me. I don't live in a vacuum. So why is it that we're so influenced by one another, our moods, our feelings? It's really special, something special that's being revealed in our world today, how dependent we are on one another. Therefore, this psychology, human psychology, developed in accordance with this in the last 100 years. Because it's only in our time, let's say from the beginning of the 20th century, you can say that we began to develop this issue that a person is not a single person, but rather he's part of all of humanity. And the psychologists started speaking about person as a result of the environment. And from there, actually, psychology began to develop. Because if we're looking at a person in a private manner, it's not far off from a creature. Animals also have those same elements of group and the influence of the environment, but not to such an extent like people, because for people, it really works to such an extent that we replace our sources of pleasure, our goals. All the definitions and the change in accordance with that are values. Therefore, it's very important to us not to see a person as something alone, but in every research we conduct, we have to take him a lot into account with the environment, the influence of him on the environment and the environment on him. This is actually the foundation of all our problems. And here we need to truly, when speaking of happiness, we need to speak of who determines what happiness is, who determines the deficiency I need to prepare in order to be happy, in order to feel filling. Are the fillings that I receive from the environment, or more correctly, the deficiencies that I receive from the environment, are they correct, the correct deficiencies, that I won't roll from one deficiency to the next, and that and there will be no end to it. You mean aspirations, desires, what I'm missing. Altogether, I'm calling it a deficiency. I need the deficiencies. We spoke of it, that that's what I live of, my aspirations, this action, this of attaining something, of yearning after love. Love is also a general term. Not necessarily between the genders, but it's a desire for something that I feel pleasure from. So if I'm in a group of people, that what they're interested in is buying clothes, then they can infect me with this desire? Yes, of course, that's clear. The whole idea of fashion and advertisement and industry, there's a whole industry around it. It's all so that we will infect ourselves through those fashion designers, cosmetics, all those things. It all comes from huge advertising. There's a great investment. We see that in the industry of today, if before 100, 200 years ago, we would manufacture something, we didn't need to advertise it. Today, anything that I buy, there's at least 50%, 70% is invested in advertising. I buy this for, let's say, $10. $7 out of the $10 goes towards advertising. Everything else goes toward manufacturing it, positioning it, putting it in the store, building the store, and all those things. But up to 70% actually of each and every product goes toward advertising. We see how much we're dependent on the environment, and that's how we live. We can say that I am always in need of new deficiencies to receive them from the environment, as much as the surrounding the environment can develop new deficiencies in me, then it's a more effective environment for feeling life. And I feel that I'm missing this and this, and I go to work and study and attain and more and more and more up to a certain point. Now we're in a stage where this is all over, but it was very important for us. Let's say the other half, the second half of the previous century, from the 50s of the 20th century until now, until the beginning of the crisis in 2008, even though it started way before that, but it was felt, it began being felt in 2008, that we began to recognize that it's a crisis. People didn't want to recognize it before. We began to recognize it. So this whole period, which is, let's say, 50 years, we're in a situation where we always we're learning from society what we need to run after. Up to today, where we've reached a situation where we understand that all these things, we see it according to people. Once upon a time, I used to look at people in the streets, here and abroad. I used to see that people are wearing special clothes, and they're even showing off one toward the other what I have, this pen, this tie, this watch, this suit, shoes. Today, everyone's wearing running shoes, and they don't care what rags they put on. And also fashion is heading in that way, special rags. But it's also, today we can't say about a person, is he rich or poor? Does he have special taste in something or not? Developed or not developed? It used to be an external expression. Today it's become more of an internal expression that we can't read a person from inside. He can be a very developed, special person, and altogether his external form will be very simple. we're reaching, according to all these external expressions, we're reaching a place where we're stopped being excited about what society can do. And the internet is finishing this off in the best possible way, that we're starting to be tired of it and what it's trying to fill us with. In a small period of time, we're finishing it, and then we'll really be in a situation, in a bad situation. We'll need to verify how to live onward, what we'll get taste from, because we're not living from regular filling, even food and all those things, things that we used to enjoy in some manner, the way we connected, attaining all those goals today, we don't enjoy it. You said before, also Tal described, that we influence one another. If I come to a place with people in a bad mood, then I'm infected by their bad mood. And you said, yes, in the last 100 years, there's a much more precise way of looking at people, not to look at each person as an isolated individual, but rather the people and those around him influence his mood, his thoughts, his aspirations, his desires. So now I want to understand a little bit more in depth how it works. If I'm in a good mood, I can be with you, and how does your mood transfer to me? How and why? We see it also at the degree, at the animal level. That if some cow is heading in a certain direction, all the other cows are drawn after it. If a person is standing out and he's going in a certain direction, then people are drawn toward him. That's in nature, that we're attracted after a special person or after a society that is arranged in some direction, in certain values, and then other people that come into contact with this environment are also attracted to it. They get the same deficiencies, goals, and this is how it continues with them. In other words, whether we like it or not, this is how we're built, even at the living level of us, especially the human level of us. And especially it's revealed in the 20th century, and it's continuing now, that we feel all of humanity connecting, maybe in not such a great way, maybe through world wars, all kinds of messes that we have, international commerce and industry, and we have lots of issues and this general crisis. We thought we would succeed in this or in that, that the whole world would be one factory, one culture, one education. We built UNESCO, the United Nations, the European Union. We wanted to attain happiness through the connection between us. We felt we would be able to achieve something. Everything's for the good of man, for our good. In a commercial way, it suited the economic situation and everything. And now we've reached a situation where it's just the opposite, that this entire process that we got into is actually bringing us to greater emptiness. That I'm discovering this, that the entire world is connected, and I feel myself in a great society, not in a small society like we spoke of, that I go into some small society and they have a little goal, and that goal becomes my goal. And I also start riding a bike. I go fishing, I do some sport. But actually, I'm integrated in this big human. There used to be news what used to happen to us here in the city in Israel. Today, it's world news, what's happening in the whole world, and it's happening every day. And in accordance with that, there's such great things. So you're saying the whole world is connected. The whole world is one society. And I'm surprised. I'm inspired by the whole world being varied. That influences me. Now, the question is also, does this influence me because I hear and see? Or I don't hear and see, and I'm in this network anyhow. I'm still in the network. And when all kinds of thoughts and desires awaken in me today, these thoughts and desires awaken in me. They awaken in me from the entire world that I'm just a single part of. But whether we like it or not, I'm connected to the whole world. This network between us has been revealed. The communication between us is so strong that we're all in a single plate. We're all interdependent. But lately it's become very strong. The bank system, the international commerce, politics. Today, to succeed at something, I have to know, I have to understand this whole network, and I have to know how much I can take advantage of it, or I can influence it. Today, I have to take into account the connection between everyone. I used to be closed off in a city, in a village, and I was dependent on those people. I was in a tribe. I was with my family. My grandmother, brothers, aunts, maybe 50, 100 people, maybe hundreds of people. But everyone's close, and I'm dependent on them. And I was with them. Now it doesn't help. On the one hand, the family's falling apart, and on the other hand, I'm dependent more and more on external things. I don't want to, but because I have no choice in my development, I'm more connected to externality rather than the internal format. I'm more connected to the external format. I'm more connected by what's happening outside than what's happening in the family. That's where everything used to be before, but now it isn't like that. Now I'm dependent on the whole world. Do I even have feelings that are my own? That's a nice question. Of course not. Of course not, but rather everything from the beginning, from the moment a person is born, he has preparations, he has excellence more or less in the basic things, and everything else he develops through the environment. If we leave him in the jungle, he'll grow up as an animal. If we put him into this or that society, he'll develop things that are in everyone, and he'll put down those other things. And so we see that a person is a result of the environment, not values and not feelings, and doesn't have any way to measure himself. He bought them while he was maturing. There's some people that say there's some emotional space around him. He goes to all kinds of places, and if people come into his space, they influence him more or less. Is there an ability to guard myself from all kinds of influences? Yes, but that also depends on your previous preparation and how much you're closer, further away emotionally. If I'm interested in the same things, then it influences me a lot. If from square one I prepare myself to be influenced by them, then I am influenced more. And it's possible for me to do some preparation before that so I won't be influenced by them at all. Then I won't be influenced by them. There's research that shows that if you're in an environment of people that are happy, your chances are of being happier. And the opposite is true also. Why is it like that? A person lives in the atmosphere that they're in. I spoke to people that were in concentration camps, work camps, or they were in Siberia, locked up somewhere. And I spoke to them and I asked them how they felt themselves, and they said they had a life, that they would enjoy themselves, that they would feel things even sharper in a more colorful way, in colors and feelings, They were full of energy compared to now when they have everything in life, because there they were lacking a lot of things. They were facing life and death every moment. There were big threats, and today they enjoy the struggle, getting away, getting closer. Everything was very sharp in the lacking and also in the feelings, in accordance. And today they have everything. They would talk about their life in a very, really, as if they really respect those years in the work camp. They were in Siberia in terrible conditions. They're freezing, and still, when they come back from there, even though they had a difficult life, they don't have that same color, that filling, that sharpness, and the feeling of deficiency and filling. So there's that thing you say, that a person is influenced by the atmosphere around them. It's like trivial. He's not influenced, he's built. Influenced is a weak word. A person is built by the environment. He's shaped by the environment. If you take like a clay, what will come out of it? Either a dog or a cat or a person. This person with the violin, with the piano, with the book in his hand, or a knife, or a gun. A liar, he'll be honest, he'll be good to others, bad to others. You all build from this piece of clay, from this plastilina. How? Through the environment, by the environment, only the environment. Where does your mood, let's say we're three of us, let's say we're a mini society, let's say I have a good mood, you have a bad mood, and she has a bad mood. Will your bad mood come inside me? It depends how much stronger you are than us. So if there's an issue of who's stronger. She's a psychologist. She can explain to you the treatment that she gives people, that they come to her. She presents herself as strong, secure, confident, understanding, feeling, controlling a person, even though inside she may not be like that at all. But to the extent that she presents herself like this to a person, controls him, and that she is controlling his feelings on how to shape him and how to, in accordance with how she shapes him, what he will receive as something good and what he'll receive as bad. That's what's called shaping him. Then a person comes out from her and looks at life differently. That these are good things and these are bad things, according to that I got this new perspective, and she wants to shape him in a way that he'll enjoy life from what he has. She can change his life. She can change his perspective, his values. That's what she does. In other words, her work is a lie. You're talking about professionals. I'm not talking about professionals. It's the same thing that we do. Let's say we work at the same place. If I understood from you correctly, we have a constant war. Yes. Whichever one of us is stronger, his mood influences everyone else. It's always like that. Everyone always wants to influence the other, his control through jealousy, respect. He wants to control others. The fact that everyone wants to control, I knew that before. The way he looks at life. I want you to agree with me. And if I change, that you'll change in accordance with me. Let's say you want to, I want to be the only person in the world and everyone else will be like my pets. And what does that say about your mood and their mood? They'll change in accordance with me. If you're depressed, you want everyone else to be depressed? Yes. I can't see them happy. It makes me angry. I can kill them. So if you're depressed and I work with you in the same place, you come to me in the morning even without being aware of it, and you're trying to penetrate me with your depression. Of course, intuitively you do this. I see people in the street. It already influences me. They're regular people, nothing. Their internalness is influencing me, not because I even see them, but because I'm in a place where I don't see anything. Thing. We're connected through a special network. We're all connected. So how does your depression transfer to me? You don't see how, but that's what's happening. Our feelings and thoughts are floating around in the air. Between us, there's billions of ties, threads where we each convey to each other information that we have no idea about. We're only now beginning to understand how much we influence and are influenced by others. And even at the physiological level, we eject all kinds of hormones to the air. That's at the material level. We're talking here in a more hidden way, emotionally and even more internally. Are there people that are more sensitive to these influences? Yes, and you can also develop it. Some people feel people according to a picture that he makes. They can tell you everything about a person. Where does it come from? That he knows physiognomics? No. He feels according to the person. He begins to connect to him. So hang on, let's leave those people with the special powers. I'm a regular person. I want to be happier. I understood something fascinating. I'm not an extrasensory person. I just want to be happy. And I understood now that I have a difficult problem because all the unhappy people around me are like sending me viruses on a computer into my system, and they're sending me lack of happiness. So if you woke up in the morning in a bad mood, so then there's no choice but to make them happy as well. So let's go for that, but let's go stage by stage. Before what I do, first of all, I want to see that the picture, I want to understand the picture. We reflect on each other's moods. And just like in any war, whoever's stronger wins. Win is a relative word. I have a bad mood. You have a bad mood. I have a good mood. Who's going to influence you? How will my happiness penetrate you? But am I profiting and gaining anything from that? That's the question. I don't get it. The fact that I also made you depressed, you don't make me angry with your face. You're also depressed. I don't have any claims against you. We understand each other more. But I didn't raise myself up in any way. I'm not saving myself from the situation I was in, from your depression. Can you get my help? It's possible. But first of all, what I did, I neutralized my source, my lack of patience, anger. I neutralized someone that used to make me angry, someone that used to be in a good mood. But in that, I didn't save myself. Maybe I should have done the opposite. What? How? to get an impression from you that if I begin to respect you, that you're great, that I evaluate you, that you're special, that we have good relations between us, that it's worth it, then let's say my child who's in a good mood, do I want to ruin his mood by being in a bad mood? Usually, no. Even though there's opposite things, I get angry, etc. But I can also, because I love him, because I relate to him with love, he's important in my eyes. So I prevent myself from upsetting his mood. And then through this, I can also save myself. How? By raising him up like a big one. Everything depends on how much a person shapes himself against the environment. The environment can be one person or lots of people. How much I can solidify myself, and then if they're in a good mood, if they're at a good level, at a level that I should buy things from them, then I buy them to the extent that they seem great in my eyes. Here's my work with giving myself into the good environment. So one moment, let's do a mid-summary. You said something new. First of all, you said we reflect our moods on one another. And then you said a person can acquire a mood through his fellow man. I want to understand how to do that. Because if I woke up in a bad mood and I come to work and I see you all laughing and everything, it happens to me a lot at work. You're saying through certain technology, even one-sided towards you, I can build your happiness. Is that correct? Yes. So I want to understand the technology. Let's do this stage where I came in a bad mood to work. I see you're happy, and I'm upset. What do? You have two options, or three. The first option is not to see me at all, to turn around, not to see me, to disconnect the relationship. No, to put you down. Do I have a bad mood? I have a good mood. I have a bad mood. I have a bad mood. I came to work. I see you smiling. So you can either not see me, so you don't get angry, or to put me down and put me in your place, or the opposite, to get my mood from me. That's what I want to learn how to do. So how can you receive my mood from me? By beginning to respect me, to like me, that we're friends, that I will be important to you, valuable to you. You need to start working on this, but there needs to be understanding from both sides that, first of all, we're signing some kind of agreement, some contract that you and I are using one another for attaining happiness, for being in a good mood. And then we're helping one another. Why is it called a contract? Because once we said in this way, we would influence good things. So I say to you, Oren, I see that you're not in such great shape. Try, and I'll try myself. Let's together, let's hug. Let's sing something. Let's talk about something good. You know, I have good candy. Let's share half and half. Not that I have two candies. Let's share half and half. It builds a relationship a bit more than just giving you a piece of candy. Let's do some exercises, artificial of course. Not that you need them or I need them, but rather now we're working on the connection between us, where each gives to the other his mood. I need your bad mood to influence you. But I don't get it. I need your bad mood. You who has a good mood, why do you need mine? Because then I can influence you. I can show you that I want you to be in a good mood. I can influence you with my love, with my good feelings. What does it give you? It allows me to be happy, double happy. Not just I'm happy, but I'm making someone else happy. It's a person I care about, and then I feel at least double pleasure than what I felt before. How do we share feelings with one another? Why? If I have a very good feeling, and I reach some society and some situation, and they say to me, so what's so great about it? They put me down, they ruin this situation, and I'm even worse off than when I started. So just the opposite. There has to be some preparation for the relations between us, that we know how. It's group psychology. You know these methods. Also in our work in workshops and workplaces, we use this. We have an agreement. Anyone in this society, in this group, we're influencing each other with good moods. We use bad moods in order to build a deficiency for the good situation. Then we use the good situations to attain the situation. And then we get something from the deficiencies, our bad moods, and also the good moods. And then we have truly a perfect group. We all attained things that there didn't exist before in anyone. Those that had a bad mood, of course. And even those that have a good mood, they have a much better mood. And they all reach the same place and forget what happened. But rather we need to be aware for the future than what we attained, precisely because we're connected between us and we know how to use our mood, that there's nothing wrong with reality. But rather there's people who don't know how to use this situation. That's the problem I see, that usually meant the people are afraid to discover bad moods. They're afraid that it will go out of their control. If a group isn't ready, they can be continued being pulled forward by the bad. And here there must be training. They have to be as equals, and there has to be an instructor. And no one's in charge. He arranges the correct connection between them. So I'm the instructor here, and I want to understand. You said I have a candy. People will tell me about their mood, and then we'll share half and half. But if the society understands more and has been through this, if they know how to raise themselves up to the level of happiness, then it's working in a directed manner. There are some people according to their characteristics and language, and some people are natural pessimists. Sometimes I'm jealous of optimist people. They're always happy. I don't know what they're happy about. There's so much trouble. So what are they happy from? There they smile all day, so I say to myself, function. They're all happy, not necessarily from drugs, but that I'm putting on the side, let's say that's their teacher, that's their nature, and my nature is different. But now we can buy those. So each time I see a happy person, I give him half a candy. No, I can't do. I don't want to wait for them all to go through these psychological. I understand what you're saying. I'll try to implement it tomorrow morning. You said there's a war between the feelings. Whoever wins will prevail. I'm in a bad mood. I come to work. I see Tal in a bad mood. I want to buy her desire. So I saw that. So we start treating them with, you'll love her, you'll treat her. What do I do? I don't understand what I need to do, but I understand what the goal is. I need to buy her mood, because whether we like it or not, we convey things to one another. And I want to talk about doing it in an unaware manner, so that I'll know how to connect to the inner feeling in him, and I'll buy it so that it will be mine. Can I do that? That's difficult. And it's easier if we do it through exercises that we call a workshop. What's in the workshop? That we sit together. Tal and I, it's ideal with more people. And then we discuss. We discuss all kinds of things in life, good things, and bad things, how much a person is influenced by society, how much we ourselves measure our lives through relative things. What's good, what's bad, it's always measured one against the other. Sometimes what appears bad appears good, and what was good, afterwards I see it wasn't so good, it was even bad. We talk about these things being relative, and a person is influenced by the environment, and it all depends on how much he puts his head down, that he can take their bitterness, that he takes their mood, the way they relate to life, the feeling of security, their values in life. It's worth doing it, because in that, what are you changing in that apart from your mood? You want to get out of your bad mood. Great. Yes, I see them happy and I'm not. So now you're getting training how to do that. If I'm bitter, I can't get. We have to talk about how a person is influenced by his environment, how much if he disregards them and he's the biggest person and all kinds of things at work and his intelligence and everything, but he's influenced by us. He has no choice. And if he's influenced by us, then how can he truly understand that we are influencing him? And if he resists us, then he won't get out of his situation. The loss is entirely his. How can we still convince him through the connection between us that it's worth it for him to get out of this situation, that it's worth it for him to give in to the environment? We give him examples. We live from examples. When I see how others behave, whether I like it or not, it influences me. Let's say he's in a mood where he's not capable of doing anything with himself. We'll start smiling, we'll start influencing one another, talk about the greatness of the environment, the greatness of our goal, say in some factory or some office. How we influence each other's moods, how we can help each other and what happened in the past. We need to wash him with our feelings, even if he's not listening, if he's not capable of hearing. That's it. I came from home. Everything broke. Family doesn't exist. Everything's broken. I don't know what I'm going to do, where I'm going back, etc. Let's say something that can happen with anyone. So we need to first and foremost show him that these are things that happen. We need to understand what type of problem he has. And then this happened and that happened to him. And we'll bring world statistics according to statistics in our group. And this entire life isn't so bad. We need to give it perspective. That it doesn't appear to him that what's bothering him now is something so great before him. But because it's in front of him, then if I have some disturbance in my eye, I can't see anything. If it's a millimeter away from my eye, then it's not so much of a problem. And if it's a meter from my eye, then it's not a problem at all. I don't see it at all. I don't see this little disturbance. It all depends on how we measure it, if it's close to me or not. And society is capable of doing that. The problems of many is what are you talking about? So life is over? No, everything. And even if it's over, so what? So it's all over. Just you're not thinking about it in the meantime. You didn't think about it, and now you're thinking about it. So what? You're looking at it in a more mature way. There's nothing that a person isn't capable of receiving from the environment right up till the day he dies, even to such an extent. Even the moment that he dies, if the environment is next to him, that can give him such a mood that he'll leave life in a good mood. In an uplifted mood. He's influenced from the society in a natural way. His connection with society is such that whether he likes it or not, they can make him live or die to such an extent. And even the moment he's about to die, he'll be influenced to such an extent. We see heroes, I'm going, I'm doing this. It's not a problem. He feels lots of power from that. It all depends how we organize the environment. You say the environment can reflect to everyone, even a person before he dies, a good mood. Meaning, according to your approach, there's not a person that's built with something that he can never be happy. There's no such thing. You can make any person happy. It all depends on his connection with the environment. And that the environment is strong and that it has life inside it, higher life. They speak about that in research. There's a lot of how happiness spreads through the network, and they say that the more friends you have, you're already happier. And it's important how happy they are. But something interesting is that happiness goes through the same gender, like through women or through men. Is it because we're more impressed by the people that are close to us? Yes, because we have a problem. Because sometimes, whether we like it or not, we have to do it in places where we work. But actually, it should be the same gender. Why? Why the same gender? Why are we more impressed by the same gender? Because you're more impressed by it. Because depending on the relations between, she's only impressed by you if you're bigger than her, not equal. A woman can't accept a man as equal to her. With all the new technology and relations, It doesn't work. Just like in a family, a woman can't live with a man if she doesn't feel that he's higher than her. Not physically, but rather according to her values, that he's more equal than she is. Only in this manner she can appreciate him, and to the extent that she appreciates him, she can love him, put up with him, and be dependent on him. Otherwise not. And a man, it's the opposite. If a man is not like that, then she takes the role of the male, and then it's a big problem in the family. But usually, let's leave the family unit. The example of the family unit is what we need to. Let's see if I understand. You say that in the research here, they discovered that the more friends, the happier friends you have, the happier you'll be. This influences you. But she says that it also. The influence, the emotional influence, passes better through genders. Let's say I'm a man and I want to be happy. It's more important for me to have happy men around me than happy women. What? You're going to be inspired by women? And the opposite, you don't feel, can you feel that you're inspired by women? They have a different type of inspiration. They have different perspective values. Is it the same? Is the same way that a woman will be happier if she has happier women around us? Yes and no. It depends at what level. The level of family food. We're talking about our mood. It depends what the source of happiness is. It depends what the source is, where the filling comes from. It's confusing. What's the source of filling? If her source of filling as a woman at this level of family food, that she can be more influenced by other women because men have different tastes, a different way of relating to things. I'm not even talking about sex, but family and food. These are things that they belong to our hormones. And then she can be, she can admire other women. But money and intelligence, etc., that's another thing altogether. There, she'll admire men more. But men won't admire a woman. If I understand what you're saying, there's something very tricky in our discussion about how people influence one another and how our moods pass between each other and this network and these inner pipes. It works out that I want to have a better life. I want to be happier. And this discussion now is opening the borders. Until now, I thought there was me, Oren, and there was my search for happiness that takes on all different forms in the 40 years of my life. And now suddenly this discussion is opening these borders and saying, Oren, look, it's very scientific and very simple. There's people around you. Look if they're happy people. If they're happy, then after a certain period of time, their inner mood will be reflected on you. But if today you have unhappy people around you, then in X amount of time, you'll be unhappy. Is this correct? Yes. So it turns out, then where does this border go to? Where do I need to be concerned with? If I have people around me who are unhappy, how far does it have to concern me in relation to my happiness until you feel the greatness of the society around you, where the border is? A person who's big and developed and open to the world feels that he's dependent on the whole world and the whole world is dependent on him. And this is how we're truly connected. There's no defined border. The border will expand more and more as I expand inside. So what do I do if I identify that you're unhappy, the people around me? I have to be aware of it. Now, I have to be concerned about it because your mood today is my mood tomorrow, yes? For sure. So what do I do with you? Let's say you're the people with a bad mood around me. What do I do? Do you work with us? What kind of work? How can I make the people around me happier because I'm afraid that tomorrow their depression will hit me? How can I make them happier? First of all, you need to present yourself as a person that's stronger than us. Strong. What do I do? Strong, big, influencing, determining, knowing. That we can admire you somehow. I won't say that to you. Yes. Everything in life, everything's under control, everything's good, etc. First of all, that. Not by sticking it to us, but in a manner that will begin to appreciate you and also your mood. Do you have advice how to do that? You said to without people resisting it. I understand that I have to give you an impression, an emotional impression, but I don't understand how to do it so that it will happen and it won't create more resistance or distance between us. I need to cause you to appreciate me. That you'll look at me and you'll say, wow, Oren, he has a good life. The simplest thing. Depends which society. Bring a bottle of wine, champagne, cake, say it's your birthday. A few times a year, it doesn't matter. And that's it. Turn us around like that. Bring us what we like, something you know we like. And that's it. That's the first stage. That's the first stage, to create a connection that you'll look at me and you'll feel, you'll appreciate me. To create appreciation in you for me. Let's say I created that. Now what? Now start telling us that you learned. Where do you have a good mood from? To talk about it? Yes. You can tell us about a bad mood that you had previously. I had a bad mood. I was down and this and that. Doesn't matter what. And you were in some place where you got a change for the better. And actually, you see that this change for the better doesn't just influence my mood, it also influences my results in life. Suddenly you're succeeding more with money, attaining things. You relate to people in a different way, they react to you differently. It's worth it for me in all kinds of forms of life that I want to attain to be in a good mood. And this is how you come to us and convince us in this manner that before you were in this place and changed your mood, now you want to celebrate it with us. You want to tell us about it. You have happiness. You have a reason for it. The next stage, we drink your champagne, we eat candies and cake, and you tell us in the meantime about it. But do we need to continue? You're teaching them how to do it. How? You do a workshop. What's in the workshop? That we'll talk about next time. But in general lines, in general, that we're talking about how much a person is influenced by bad, he's influenced by good, he's influenced by the environment, how much we're connected to one another. Even our bad moods come from the environment. Our good, it depends on us, our choice. And our choice is what environment to be influenced from, either from an environment where I get a good mood or in an environment where I get a bad mood. The environment can be the family and kids. It can be the workplace. It can be that I'm stuck on the street there with someone. It all depends on how I'm influenced by all kinds of societies. How can I protect myself for the future? I have to always have a good environment, a strong environment beside me that will control me and always give me a good mood. And then for everything in life, I'll relate in such a way that I'll use them in a good way. What does it mean to give a good mood? Security, a feeling of support, the correct direction for looking at life. Also, the bad things come so that I'll correct them and control them with my good situation, the way I relate to people and how I see people in every place that are in a bad mood. They're also that I'll be able to change them for the better, that if we're connected, all of us one to the other, it's worth it for me, for the whole world to be in a good situation. And in this way, I begin to see myself as an agent of a good mood. We have one more minute. Give me a tip. How can I put another person in a good mood in a minute? Smile. Reflect it to him, even without talking at all. It all depends how much you're in this good force that's in all of reality, and that this good force you want to bring to him, he'll feel it. He'll feel it in the inner network between us. Try that you go to check when you go to meet someone. Make this preparation. That what? Prepare yourself that you're going to reflect him, give him a good mood, a good love, connection. You'll see how well it works. Our time is up. So tomorrow you're not coming in a bad mood. Tomorrow I'm reflecting to everyone a good mood. Thank you, Rev Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Yala, let's reflect one another, a new life. All the best.